In a world where gaming is everything, welcome to the Extreme Gaming Podcast.
Well, hello, hello. And there's my compadre, Mr. Matt. What's up?
Hello.
Did you like that, that like special? if you notice, we changed the open. Been wanting to do that for a little while. And we have a, believe it or not, as I always talk about AI a lot, that was an AI voice of a gentleman, and his name was Don LaFontaine. He's no longer with us, but he did some of the best movie trailers in the past, like Terminator 2 and God, so many other ones. And he's got a very recognizable voice. So I couldn't believe the AI actually had, you know, his voice there. And I just go, oh, this would be epic.
It is brilliant.
And it sounded great. So I just did a mix with the music and everything. And it's just like, yeah, man. Yeah. Anyway, Extreme Gaming Podcast, episode 257. December 5th, we're recording this. I hope everybody's good. Trev's a little under the weather, so you've got Great Gamer 25 right here. And
Irish Guardian, also known as Matt to everybody. There we go.
I mean, I was wondering if they're going to say Matt first or Irish Guardian.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, it's a raffle.
So how you been, Matt? Good?
All good. Yeah, all good. All healed. Trev, get better soon. Get yourself sorted.
Yes, Trev. Yes, Trev. Please get better. I know you're under the weather. Didn't sound real super on the phone to me, but please feel better. All right, paperwork, as we always say, to get out of the way. If you'd like to join our Discord, it's discord.gg/Extreme Gaming Podcast. Of course, that would be all one word. discord.gg/Extreme Gaming Podcast. If you would ever like to submit any questions about games or about PC hardware or how to fix your toaster, you know, or you know, whatever, you can put the question in either an email or on the Discord, and we will put them up on our notes and we will take care of it and talk to you. We will be having not right away, but coming soon, an extremegamingpodcast.com. If you were to go there now, you would see our logo and it just says coming soon. So we are working on that to do some couple little things on it. We have a Rust gaming event. If you're in our Discord on tomorrow, if everything goes well, we'll see if Trev is doing okay. We'll continue. So a bunch of us are going to play and get together on Rust and play and stuff like that. I only played a little bit of that game, and I don't know how good I am. I figured I would just ride on Trev's coattails or something.
That's it. We'll stay close to him and just run behind him if we get shot.
That's it. Well, thankfully, he's going to put us into a PvE server, which is what I like better anyway. Because it was PvP, we'd probably get our butt handed to us a bunch. We might not have that much fun with it. but anyway, we're going to try that. We are on all the socials, YouTube as Extreme Gaming Podcast, Facebook, Extreme Gaming Podcast, TikTok, Extreme Gaming Podcast, and X is the only one that we couldn't get Extreme Gaming Podcast, so we just got Extreme Podcast. And we're also looking into other things like Threads and Mastodon and some of these other things we might get involved in. We'll see. Yeah. But in any case, let's kind of kick it off here and talking about my story. I'm bringing up the Mod Corner, I guess, a little bit early.
Before we do, thank you, Daddy Boy, for subscribing. 38 months. Nice.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. Yeah.
In fact, actually, let me put the chat up there because that way I can. There we go. Yeah, thanks, Lenny Boy, a lot. I just wrote him a message. He's playing Dragon Age, and I was curious what his reactions were to that. Maybe we'll get to that in just a bit. In any case, the first thing I want to talk about it is, since we're in the mod corner right now, is apparently there's a impressive mod they're calling it now that will work in Starfield, but specifically in their DLC that they just released, the Shattered Space DLC. So some talented modder who likes Star Wars apparently got involved, and his name, I think, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, so I gotta apologize, but Deity Venji, okay. He has done previous Starfield mods, including one that morphs the base game into an unofficial tie-in for The Mandalorian. He's currently working on right now the Star Wars Sith Empire Shattered Space conversion. So it uses previous Star Wars mods, including a bunch of other stuff. And he's going to overhaul the entire DLC into an adventure set at the height of the Sith's Empire's Power, which was a time of tyranny before the Star Wars movies. I saw a couple pictures on it. When we do the YouTube edit, I always tell everybody we do also a YouTube edit that it'd be great if you guys want to see it. We put in all kinds of little extras in there and stuff, so that's something that you probably want to check out. So I will put some of the visual stuff in there that that we can't put in right away sometimes. One second here, I'm just gonna click a little something before we have technical problems. There we go, all good. So anyway, the picture that I see really looks good. I mean, they're all in the different outfits and armor and so forth. And they're saying there's a lot of good things going on in this mod. He said that he wants to rewrite the entire Shattered Spaces story and the character dialogue into an original Star Wars tale. And apparently he's going to be putting in new dialogue. I don't know who he's getting to voice this stuff. That's always the tough part with mods, because usually they just put the words underneath and they don't have any, voiceover really. Mm-hmm. But he's trying to go for it all the way. So apparently there is a version of the mod up now on Nexus Mods. It is not completed yet. Like I said, he's still working on it. So he wants to be able to, get these voices and stuff. But I think it's, bravo to him to be able to do something like that.
Absolutely. And that's epic.
The thing that's amazing, though, is everybody's been nailing Starfield, because you and I talked about it on our past podcast, and it's just really not that good, and it's got a lot of those inherent Bethesda problems. But besides that, I mean, the models look old, the people don't look old. I mean, it looks like a game that was made back with when Skyrim came out.
Yeah,
and not a whole lot better, depending. Shattered Space has not done well on the DLC, so that really hasn't really redeemed them. And Bethesda just keeps coming up with different excuses. One of the best ones I heard, I don't remember if it was an official at Bethesda that was quoted by somebody or a former Bethesda. And they basically said that it was easier to make the game based on their old assets than to sit there and come up with on totally new stuff. And I'm going like, okay, so that answers that question. So basically, they just wanted to get the game going or to get the game out, and they just decided to use some of their old stuff and, figure out why should we use a better engine when we'll just use the engine we've been using for 20 years. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, not a good sales motto right there.
I hate that kind of stuff. I'm sure you do, too. It's just...
Yeah.
No wonder they have problems. No wonder it looks the way it looks.
Exactly. That's why you're not getting that many people playing it.
Exactly.
You don't put the effort in, why should we bother?
What do you think about this mod, though, with the whole Star Wars thing?
Absolutely brilliant. I've seen, the Mandalorian one.
Oh, did you? Cool, I didn't see that one.
And I was very impressed, most impressed.
I saw the one where they changed all the people on one world to Stormtroopers.
That was
kind of neat. But they're going way beyond this. I'm really curious. I hope they get somebody that knows how to do decent voiceover, because
voice, I'll do some for you.
Yeah, I'll do it too. Those aren't the droids you're looking for. Move along.
I love that.
I'm doing, I barely got by with that one. So, so if you don't like Starfield, pick it up and put the mod in, and then you will like Starfield.
Absolutely.
It'll just be a modded, modded game into something totally different, which is good.
And it works with Xbox, doesn't it? Because it's on Xbox.
Yeah, I was actually surprised. Yeah. I'm so used to PC mods, because usually mods are easier to load, and I think they still are easier to load in a PC. But I didn't realize that there's a whole modding thing going on with Xbox and PlayStation. I mean, it's not nearly as many mods as with PC, but I was surprised. I heard something about there being like about 100 different mods for a couple of games, and I was like, really?
Yeah, wow.
I mean, how would they get them into a console, though, Matt? Isn't that like, I mean, do you type in? I don't have a console. Do you type into the console to load things, or what do you do?
I don't know. I think you can. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because I'm going back now to the PS2, and I think we used to do, and the Nintendo, was it? Yeah. We used to be able to do some fidgety roonies or put in a USB thing or cartridge with those mods built into it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. As an overrider sort of thing. So I don't know if that's going to be the same or not. But wow.
The only mods I remember from long ago is when I played Metroid, the first Metroid, right? Mm. And they had a little...
I love that game.
I can't remember the name of the company now. It was a cartridge, and it was gold. It was gold-colored, and it was something cheats, whatever. And you took the cartridge out, if I remember right, and you loaded this one in, and then it did whatever it did, and then you pull it back out, and then you put the other cartridge back in again. And then all of a sudden, these cheats are loaded. Okay. But you, in order to engage the cheats, you had to do like a couple little things on your controller to make them
up,
work.
Down, left, right, bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I thought that was like so cool. I'm sitting there going like, "Well, I can go through walls now, woo," or whatever. I think so. That was kind of like going way back when we're talking about any kind of cheats or whatever modded things, you know?
Yeah.
Anywho, we'll move along. I know, Matt, you've been playing a lot more games than we have. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
And I've heard about Stalker 2, and I, from what I've been hearing out there, the vibe seems to be pretty good with it.
Yeah.
So I want to know what you thought since you played it.
Yeah, so in a world set in a post-apocalyptic, you'll have to get this, of Chernobyl's exclusion zone, which... It's a first-person shooter, of course, immersive horror elements to it as well. It was developed by GSC Game World and is powered by the Unreal Engine 5. The graphics are brilliant. They look really sharp, really nice. I've got mine on normal setting, which is, I'll tell you what, it's very challenging. I was going to go for story mode and then just play through and enjoy the sort of thing, but I was like, no, let me go a step ahead because I don't really play things on easy or story mode.
I usually do the same thing. I start with normal, and generally that's usually good, unless it's something really difficult. Otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So it is very challenging. I think I've got only a quarter way of through of the first mission because I'm just getting distracted by other things, looking at all the details of bodies, creatures, and things that you can pick up in the world.
Is it all open world?
It is kind of. You do have a set path that you have to go and follow, but the pathways are quite big, sort of thing. So it's like a little patchwork of freedom that you can use in certain areas. And when you're not allowed to go down a certain road, you definitely know about it because it gives you radiation thing. It's quite good. It's got its inventory system. You got your food and drink things and medical things to deal with when you're out and about. There's a weight system as well. So if you're carrying too much things, it'll tell you, oh, you got too much. You need to drop something or else you won't be able to do this, that, and the other. And you also got to deal with radiation zones and areas.
Matt, put your mic a little closer to you because it's cutting you off a little. Go ahead.
On
the radiation thing, is that just so you get to a certain radiation point and you just croak or what? Or do you grow a third arm?
I don't know yet. I've got a little bit of radiation poisoning, but not too much. So we'll see. Maybe I'll get a third arm. I might get two shorter legs. I don't know. My luck.
I want to see if there's any giant cockroaches. That'd be fun.
Yeah. They got some, what's it, froggy, doggy looking beastie things that are in the world that I've seen, and something that keeps appearing and disappearing, which I just ran. I saw it killing something in the background, and I was like, "Yeah, nah, I'm going back in."
Yeah.
And that's where
you get some leveled up stuff. Around.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I was carrying 3 AKs with me at the time. No ammo, just AKs.
So I was just going to say, you just beat him over the head with the gun, right? Bling, bling.
Yeah, there we go. Definitely, it's something else. But yeah, it is quite fun.
When you said it wasn't quite open world, are you allowed to like wander off and pick up junk or not?
You can
really
pick up stuff. There's boxes that you can break open. Some will have things in it. Some will just break, you know, kind of mediocrely. Things there's certain things that you can pick up and things that look exactly the same as what you just picked up, which you can't pick up. So it's got that kind of Fallout kind of vibe where you kind of can but can't pick up certain things. So if I find cans on the ground, some of them I'd be able to pick up, and some of them is a bit, you know, you can't. Sort of thing,
you think that's based on where you're at in a level? Like if you're leveled up?
Yeah. Maybe. I doubt it, though. I think it's just because it's part of the environment rather than something that's usable. Trev's definitely got radiation poisoning as well. He's been playing it. He's been going over there to Chernobyl and taking photos of where he shouldn't be.
Taking photos.
The only issue I found is I was playing with controller. I went back to controller because it's, you know, story little thing, so it doesn't need me awesome little keyboard mayhem sort of thing going on. And I've noticed that my thumbsticks would either go to the right or to the left, depending on how far I go. Even though I know that my controller's fine, I've used it with everything else, and I've tested the dead stick motion sort of thing just to see if everything's fine, and it still kind of does it. That's the only gripe I have about with the game. Other than that, it's pretty good. Yeah. So I still have to get on and play that a bit more, but so far, thumbs up. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely want to try it. I keep hearing good things, and you've been saying stuff, so it must be decent.
Yeah.
I mean, the series is, well, they only had the one, right? So this is only the second one. And the first one, I think, was some years ago?
Yes, yeah. They also had a modded version as well, which they made into a Stalker 2-style game sort of thing. I can't remember what it was called. It was on another Steam, I think. Yeah, yeah. Trust the modders to get it going. Yeah, and the team listened and brought out this Stalker 2. Yeah.
Cool.
And yes, Trev, controller. Sorry. Yeah. Some games need it. Some don't, you know, that's my excuse and I'm sticking to it. Yeah.
Got it. You. So you think you're, from what you've played, you think you're going to stick with it pretty much or?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with it until Indiana Jones comes out because I'm very eager to try that one.
Yeah, so my, that's what the, is that the end of the month, I think, or no?
19th? Or was it the 9th? 9th. Yeah, it was the 9th of December. Right. Yeah,
that's coming out soon.
Yeah, very soon. And then you got, of course, Alien game that's coming out on VR, which I want to get as well.
Yeah, yeah. I think I put that in my notes to go over in a little bit. I saw the trailer for it, but we'll get into that one. Or did I put that on my notes? Maybe I didn't.
I think you did. Yes.
Yeah, you did. Read my own notes.
It's a good test.
So then I guess you played a second game that you liked?
I did. And this one I preferred. Well, actually, this is quite a funny one. Okay, Aliens Dark Descent. It's an RTS game set in the wonderful Alien universe. Tyndalos Interactive and published by Focus Entertainment. Now, this game came out in 2023, so it's just on the Xbox Pass, Game Pass on PC now. But it has been released for PlayStation 4, 5, Windows, Xbox, and Xbox Series. So it's already been out. People have been playing. I've seen it on Twitch, and I was just like, oh, I'll never be able to do this game. Because I don't like these strategy-style games, top-down things. So this is RTS, so real-time strategy, which is a little bit better than the click and take turns. Don't like that one. Don't like the turn-based ones at all.
So this isn't turn-based, but it's still RTS.
It's RTS, no turn-based at all, but you can slow down time to give out specific orders at certain moments in case you get ambushed or you're in the heat of it and you're like me and just run in blindly and then go, oh bugger, let me turn slow-mo on.
So if a facehugger is running towards you, you can slow-mo it?
You can slow-mo it and take out a grenade launcher or a flamethrower as a special and use that. Those use points. You get like 3 points. You can upgrade those points so you get more.
Yeah.
So it is quite exciting, that one.
Is it single player? Or?
Single player, yeah. Where you command a squad of 4 Colonial Marines as they battle rogue agents, Xenos, of course, and people from Weyland Yutani, on a moon called Lethe. The game.
How do you pronounce that again?
Lethe.
Are you Thor about that?
I say Thor.
Okay, that's good.
Lethe. Lethe about it. You got the top-down thing. You tell them where to go. You command them. You can drop down those machine gun turrets as well. You get like a couple at the beginning, but you can increase that depending on how far you go.
Auto turrets and stuff?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And you've got your pulse rifles, you've got different weapons that you can use that you can unlock at certain times. And when your team pretty much level up, and so you can promote them.
What can you what can you command your team to do? How much latitude do they have?
You can tell them to go that way. You can tell them to go this way. Go into the door. You can breach a door, weld it shut. you can loot certain corpses, loot crates that are there that will give you either medical things, tools that you can use. Tool points are used for if you want to weld doors or breach them or do hacking. If you guys have the hacking trait, you can pretty much get cover and go and cover of you know certain areas where there's levels that you can do. You can do what's it, grenades, flamethrowers. So that'll be part of your specials that you can use, and you can command.
Now you mentioned rogue agents, so you're fighting against humans as well. Mm-hmm. I guess.
Okay. Yeah. So in this specific place that I'm at, there's a few naughty humans that have decided to bring a cult to praise the Xenos. So pretty much
praise the Xenos?
Yeah, pretty much the Xeno prayers. So they kind of get in your way, and I think they're worse than the aliens themselves, because they just leg it at you with shovels, guns, whatever they have, and they jump.
I'm trying to think, though, if they praise the Xenos, how do you explain the Xenos when they want to attack them?
Oh, they kneel down and say, "Please take me. I pray for you to take me." And the Xeno just grabs them, drags them off into the corner or through the vents or what have you. And they're like, "Yay, I've been chosen." You're like, "You're nuts."
These people are crazy then. I get
it. Yeah, they're crazy. Okay. So I'm sure there's some sort of android thing going on as well, but I haven't got to that yet. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
So yeah, you have to be careful of both your physical and mental health of your team, because that will affect the combat performance.
So if they're having an issue, you just tell them to smoke this and they'll be okay.
Yeah, pretty much. They got stress, they got strain, they can have curious disorders. Depression.
Curious disorders, like what?
Was it dual? What do they call it? Jewel, I can't remember the word now.
Jewel, that's a singer.
So you get like dual personality.
Oh, dual, okay.
Yeah, all that type of stuff. PTSD, style issues. So you have to, you know, take care of them, get them back to a good level. So when you return back to base and they're all shocked and, you know, you got to go to med bay, treat them and all that stuff.
How many different type or alien types are there in it?
So far, I've met the facehuggers, the little babies. We met them. What are they called? Crawlers. We have, what's it, the queen. I met a queen yesterday. Oh, my goodness gracious me. She's big. She's a big girl.
Yeah.
But I managed to kill her off. She has got the ability to call other aliens around in the area towards her to help her fight you, which is terrible. Scary.
Oh, the idea is to get her quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Also, there was one called the Crusher, who's a big, bulky, bull-style alien that will just ram into you. You can't pretty much hide from it because it'll just smash down doors if you weld them, and will stomp on you. Pretty much it is a powerful beast. So I met that a couple of times, and one of my guys may have gotten a coma, maybe two. So I had to cut.
Did you tell your team to stand in front of you when this thing was trying to ram you?
I was like, "Yeah, run towards it. Yeah, don't let him get the upper ground
there in front of it. It's okay. Yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah, just run towards it. It'll scare it. It's like bears. Just wave your arms.
Yeah, wait. Yeah, that'll work real well.
Yeah. Rah! No, didn't work. So
can you hide at all from the aliens or no?
Sort of. You can go out of line of sight, but with the aliens, whether they're walking behind you, they still have kind of like a line of sight. So if you're standing up and they're walking, you know, well ahead of you, you get this like line, they'll come orange and then they'll go red. You'll see this tracking red until it sees you. So you can't really escape it, but you can kind of hide behind boxes and things like that. And hope to God it doesn't go around the corner of the box, because then they'll get you. So, I've used the auto turrets quite a few times. My first team I've named after Trev, yourself. You're the sniper in the game because I know you like that type of thing.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Yeah. who else have I got? I got Zaka in there as well.
All right.
And who else have I got? And Rob as well. Scythe. I got Scythe in there as well. So yeah, cool. You all got nicknames as well. So maybe one day I'll stream it. You'll see it because that is quite funny. But yeah, that first people, I'm just like, yeah, got to take care of now because I named them now. And I've got another group as a backup, which I haven't really named, but I have customized. You can customize your characters, by the way.
Wait a minute, you're going to have more than one group?
Yeah. I got two groups. And the more you go out.
A couple of them broke, then you can replace them with the new people?
Yeah. I mean, pretty much, I'm lucky I haven't croaked any of them yet. I mean, technically, if I didn't reload the game, I'd have two dead Marines and one recruit dead sort of thing. So, yeah. Saving is good, but you can only save if you weld two rooms that create a safe haven, pretty much, so you can rest in. That'll save your game in the missions. The games, the missions last at least about 20 minutes to an hour. Mine lasts a lot longer because I take my time, and it was not the best idea to do that. Because as you go and continue, things are happening, things are progressing. Aliens know you're there, so then they end up start looking around for you. Mm-hmm. And they'll go to the last place you've been. If they do hunt you down, they're coming at you sort of thing. And then you have this big boss that you have to deal with as well through there. But there's lots of missions on this planet. You can go back and return to the mission at any point. So you don't have to do it all in one go, but you can do. Right. I have to come back a few times because my guys are probably in a terrible state. So I have to bring it back and then bring out the next crew to do the cleanup and then find things that you need because you have to collect resources.
Are there ships to fly around or not really?
No, nothing at all. No. You've got an APC that will be there to drive you around to certain places, but you can't really use it as an effective thing. Unfortunately, but it does have a weapon on it, and if it's nearby and there's things around it, it will shoot them. So you're kind of covered that way. So when
there's alien bars,
there are alien bars that have nice bodies in there, dead bodies, but they're nice. I went in to grab some resources because I need some ammo because your resources are very, very limited, and you have to take from the environment what you can, and they've only got a certain amount sort of thing. So as your guys level up, you can choose different resources, different research things, because you got a research thing that goes on. So I'm in the early stages, so I've only got Kevlar armor at the moment, and a shock grenade that blows things up and electrocutes things to slow things down, which is awesome. Cool. And an extractor thing, so you can take out the facehugger. Not the facehugger. Yeah.
What happened?
You get like an extractor, so if you're got an alien inside you, you can actually put that inside on somebody, on one of your colleagues, whoever, whether it's somebody that you're a survivor that you have to save or yourselves to take out this drone, I guess you could call it.
Because if it's already inside them, it bursts through their chest, right? So how do they extract it without extracting his chest too?
Drills through the chest and Dyson, it just sucks it up.
That sounds great. Yeah. I wonder if the person survives that one. It's like
Somewhere or another. Yeah. So it's a very, I've got really into it. It's the graphics quite good. I didn't expect myself to really get into it this much. I think for the last few days since being back from hospital, I've been playing it pretty much nonstop when I'm supposed to be doing other things. Sorry. But good. So yeah, it's got me enthralled and keeps me going. Keeps me
playing. How much is the game? Is that on Game Pass or no?
It's on the Game Pass, yes. Okay. Yeah, so you don't have to pay. But you can pay if you want it on other platforms. DLCs, of course, with it as well, which they haven't got on the Xbox Pass unless you pay for them. But yeah, I'm enjoying the game so far.
There's a few games coming up that are going to be on Xbox, which is great because we all have this game, the Game Pass, you might as well use it.
Absolutely, yeah, yes. So. Yeah.
It actually works out better, I think, on Game Pass because with the games being 60, 70 bucks, it's like...
Call of Duty being one of them. I'm just like, yeah.
But Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to talk a little bit about Cyberbase. You've heard this before on our show. Cyberbase is a group of people that have basically create things for the computer. Their background has been in PC building, et cetera. And they came out with a piece called Cyberbrace. And essentially what it is it holds up your GPU, because a lot of times with these massive GPUs that we have, it tends to sag because the weight just starts to pull it down a little bit. So the Cyberbrace basically braces it up. But beyond that, they have a visual screen in there, so you can set it up as a second screen. And you can put whatever you want in there, your statistics, your face, I mean, a cartoon show, whatever you want. So we're going to go ahead and roll a commercial so you can see what it's all about. There are people that are listening. Don't worry, because it'll be edited out most likely, or you'll hear one as opposed to see one. So let's go ahead and put that up right now.
Gamers, PC builders, creators, we all know the frustration of GPU sag, that slow drooping that can damage your graphics card and motherboard and ruin the look of your rig. Introducing the Cyberbrace, the ultimate solution to keep your graphics card secure and your build looking flawless. But here's where it gets really exciting. The Cyberbrace features an LCD display that functions as a second screen. Plug it into your GPU and it transforms into a live feed of your performance stats, game data, or even your own custom graphics or animations. The Cyberbrace isn't just about function, it's about form too. Made in the UK from high-grade aluminum, it's designed to stand out and keep your GPU firmly in place. You can also customize the Cyberbrace with interchangeable magnetic faceplates for that extra personal touch. Stability, style, a second screen, and no GPU sag. Check it out now and elevate your rig. Now live on Kickstarter. Pick one up now for the Kickstarter exclusive low price of only £80 and save 35%. Every backer is also automatically entered into our gaming PC giveaway. And don't forget to like, follow, and share this post to also be entered into the Cyberbrace draw. We have 5 to give away.
And there you go.
Fantastic.
By the way, they are running a contest right now. If you are a Kickstarter backer, they will enter you into a drawing for a gaming PC, and not a crummy one, a good one, water cooled and everything. And so you can enter that way. Also, they're going to be giving away, I believe, 3 or 4 Cyberbraces as well through the social network. So you can be watching for that. So there is something that you can win. Possibly. But so check out the Cyberbrace when you go to Kickstarter. If you didn't know, it's CYBRBRACE. That's CYBRBRACE. Check it out on Kickstarter and you'll see it right there. All right. So we're going to move along to talking about the next game. I saw this once before. Trev had let me know about this, but I actually had already seen this. And the game is called Light of if I can say it right, Light of Motiram, something. It's Motiram, Motiram. Sounds like a RAM for a computer or a motor. Anyway, this game is PlayStation. It's going to be on PC too, but I don't know if it's going to be coming the same time necessarily. But the thing that struck me right away when I watched the trailer on this is it's almost a complete ripoff of Horizon New Dawn, Zero Dawn. I mean, from the girl, she didn't have red hair, okay, like the one in Zero Dawn, but it's the same type of character. She's doing a lot of the same moves. The environment looks the same, okay. The creatures, they didn't even disguise the creatures. The creatures are motorized mech creatures that are exactly like you would see in Zero Dawn. So there's mechanical, all types of different animals and stuff, all mechanical. So if you didn't know better, you took a look at it, you would swear it's a new Horizon game that's coming out. So I'm not sure if I understand why they would want to rip the game off so much. I do understand the fact that, the game has done quite well. The franchise is very popular. So in that case, okay, I get it. You want to, come out with a game similar not a ripoff.
Play on the success of others. Yeah.
So I'm just like, okay, I get it. I understand what you, but it's just, I don't know. But on the other hand, though, if it's supposedly really good, I'm not saying I wouldn't play it. But I just think I don't why they just didn't try to do something different. They were even saying that, you remember Power World being compared to Pokemon. They said that this game actually rips off Horizon Zero Dawn more than even Power World does.
I was going to mention Power World about that. Oh,
so I'm sitting there going like, wow, that's interesting. Yeah. So I'm trying to see when the game is actually going to come out. I believe it's going to be early next year, or I don't know if they've actually got a particular date in mind, but yeah. I was really just, but Light of Motrium, you can look up the trailer on YouTube and just so you can see what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Again, when we do our fancy edit, which we, always ask you to, hey, go to YouTube in about within 48 hours. You can see an edited version of our podcast where we throw some of this new stuff in there that you don't see on the audio, obviously. But in any case, so this thing is just like, I don't know. I mean, it looks good. I mean, from what I've seen, I don't really know much more. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand why they ripped it off completely. I mean, it's the whole look of it. I mean, it just looks like New Dawn. So yeah. Wow. I don't know. I mean, you may have played games like that in the past. What do you think about that, Matt? Just totally like ripping the game.
It is. Yeah. I think they're playing on the success of the story of Horizon. As you said, like Pal World would be doing for Pokemon sort of thing. So yeah, I think they're trying to jump on that success so they get better sales, and then hopefully they don't have any issues to deal with down the road with infringements of that sort, copyrights
right.
in the game. So they're definitely going to have some sort of comeback from that, doing as they do. It's a shame, they can come up with their own ideas, but then Ark has robotic dinosaurs anyway, so.
Well, let me ask you a question. If you have a game that you really like, and then another game comes out and kind of rips it off like that, but it's good, would you play it still because it's good, or would you not play it because you're mad that it's ripping off another game?
I'm totally playing the shit out of that. Am I allowed to say that? If that's it's good, like, it's good. Honestly. Yeah. If it's good, it's good. Why not? I'll give it a go. If it is great, yeah. If it is a bit too like the old game, then I'll probably go, yeah. Especially if price wise, if the price is cheaper sure. or, free, then maybe, yeah. It would probably, a lot of people would probably go, give that a try.
Yeah, I think, I would. I'm like you. If it's really good, I can get past the part that it's ripping it off, only because it's almost kind of like your continuing adventures of the other game in a way.
Yeah.
So if it's really good, then I think I would. Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm not saying I think I like that practice. I think it's a little bit weird to rip it off that much. But at the same time, if it is really good, sure. What the heck? I'll give it a shot.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's worth it. Go see what happens.
I think a lot of these things are just, they're cashing in. They're trying to cash in. There's no yes. doubt about it.
Absolutely.
It's just funny how they don't even care to cover it up. Sometimes, other games will try to cover it up. And that way they can probably, have people get used to seeing it and thinking like it's the real game. And I don't know if they're doing it because they're trying to rip on people, maybe a little bit.
Yeah. But it'd be interesting. Yeah, interesting to see, especially story wise, what they come up with, whether it's the same type of story or something new to give players.
Well, we'll move on to the next piece. And this is bringing an alien again, which I thought was interesting since you were playing the other game. This is Alien Rogue Incursion. And apparently, this is going to be the Alien Thrills and Horrors, but now in a single player VR. And one day when I get my Quest 3 going, still haven't done that yet, this I think is going to be a game I want to play. I can imagine me just like throwing the headset off or something like that. but wow, it was just like the trailer that I saw. I don't know if I could probably put it up, but there'd be some sound to it maybe. But let me see here if I can bring this up and we'll take a little peek out of here. It looked interesting, but of course, you don't have a VR headset on, while you're watching this thing.
Yeah.
So let's see here. I'll try to get this up in 1 second. Here we go.
I wonder what the trailer looks like on a VR thing, because I never even checked.
Yeah, I don't know if it's really built for it, but
no. It'd be fantastic if it was.
Yeah, see, I mean, it looks good. It looks pretty neat. Mm-hmm. I thought the effects looked good from what I could see. I thought the people look, you know, decent. Now you can see a kind of a VR, you know, thing to it, although I don't think you can really, you know, you can't really express all the VR in a trailer that's not VR.
Yeah.
Technically.
See, from that trailer with the cockpit, it's so not really alien-esque, you know, because it is very much 80s style buttons and switches and noises, where that was a lot cleaner looking, flatter as well. Could be just the VR thing, though.
I mean, supposedly, from what I understand, it's a group of, rogue Marines or something like this that are going to check out this crap. I think it's supposed to happen somewhere around the time after the first movie or something to that effect. But obviously, they're going to be going in there, and as you can see, I'm here, where they're going to, you know, encounter the aliens soon enough. But some of them, you could even see some scenes where the aliens coming at you, and I'm sitting there going like, oh boy, in VR, you're going to see this thing wanting to, you know, munch on you or something. Yeah.
Oh, so definitely. We'll play. Oh. I got the shivers down my spine.
Yeah, that one was, because I'm sitting there thinking, it looks pretty good just the way they're doing it. So you can imagine, you know, when we're talking about the VR, that's like, wow,
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, that thing was coming at him with the mouth getting wider and wider as it comes up to his head or whatever. I'm like, I wonder how far they're going to take that. Are they going to take it to the point where, like, it just grabs his head and crunches it?
you'll
be sitting there going like, oh, no. I'm getting crunched.
Yeah.
I know that's not a game for Trev. He doesn't like, he gets too heebie-jeebie on those games, but I'm going to try it. Alien Isolation was scary enough. You can imagine in VR. Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You're going to be able to play it for like 15 minutes and then you have to go recover and come back and play it again.
That's pretty much what I was like in the Isolation. I had to like put it down and just go off and then come back eventually there.
I thought the price point is going to be good on it. It says it comes December 19th. So it's coming soon.
It is.
It's going to be in PlayStation VR 2 first. And it's going to cost around $40. That's 40 American bucks, a little less over you guys or whatever. But it's not going to come out for the Quest 3 until early 2025.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was kind of bummed about that. Now, I don't know if that's some kind of a premiere thing, you know, like PlayStation wants to premiere it first for a little bit. But I was a little surprised at that. I'm sitting there going, why would you do that? You just bring it out for everything.
Yeah.
But I don't like when they say early 2025. At least sit there and tell me, like, you're going to bring it out January, you know, 20th, a month later.
Yeah.
Something, but when you say early, you know, you don't even know, like, what's early mean? It's gonna be March,
yeah, or just right at the end of March, April,
yeah, or they're gonna go maybe to April, or you know, like,
yeah,
so hopefully, we're not gonna have to wait too long. But it does look pretty good, I mean, it really does. So, I'm like, wow, that's gonna be interesting.
But it's on Steam, I think £34 on our side,
yeah,
and that says the 19th as well. So, I think we got a way around it, so I'm definitely still playing it. Might buy it for both. See which hour.
Well, but the Quest can't plug into the. I mean, you have to use the PSR version, right? Oh, you have all the VR.
Oh no, but you can. But we'll get back onto that later on.
I don't know. Okay, I won't say nothing else.
No,
but if that's the case, then you're gonna have to tell me how that works. Oh, I don't have a PS5. What am I talking about? But you'll have to tell me about that.
I will.
Got it. We'll report back to you on how we did this if you're lucky.
Story coming soon. To podcast near you. This one, to be fair.
Yeah, this one, yes.
There you go.
next up is one of my favorite series of games, because I like sniper games, and they're bringing out Sniper Elite Resistance.
Yes.
Just coming up on January 30th. So it's coming up really soon, so I can't wait. Apparently, like, some people are asking, because Sniper Elite 5, which came out in May of 2022, they're sitting there going, like, well, how were you able to get a Sniper Elite game out that soon, because usually it takes longer, you know, to get the game or so forth. And I think what they did, it doesn't bother me. Some people it may bother, but what they decided to do is that since the last game did so well, and the setting of France during World War II, they decided that, well, why don't we use a lot of the assets from the last game, spruce them up a little, give new locations, make new maps, come up with some different types of missions. And so you're basically getting a tweaked up version of Sniper Elite 5, but more of what you liked, and maybe even a few extra little things put in. So it kind of comes down to like we were talking before about when we were talking about the ripoff game. Do you consider that to be good or do you consider that to be bad? I mean, to me, because I really enjoy the Sniper Elite series so much, I'm like, if this game is anything as good as Sniper Elite 5, I'm in for it. I'm good.
I'm with you. Yeah, absolutely. I love the series as well. Yeah, I think it'd be great. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't even looked at any trailers for it. I'm just like, bring it out so I can get on there.
I did, of course, because when I heard about it, I had to watch everything I could find on it. One of the things right away that's going to be different, though, is that it's not following Carl Fairburn. Now, Carl Fairburn has been the guy that's been in every game.
Correct.
But because they're kind of treating this game as an offshoot, it's basically going to cover the British co-op partner that came from the previous game, Harry Hawker. So Harry Hawker is going to be the sniper in this game, and the interesting thing about it is that he is not like Carl, so he's a little bit different as far as his whole psyche a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it'd be kind of interesting to play a player that's not Carl.
That's not Carl. Yeah.
So that should be kind of interesting. They said the UI and the mechanics are pretty much identical to SC5, but the maps are new. The 1940s France still feels like 1940s France, which is what, you know, everybody kind of liked about the game. It's a full length campaign, so it's not going to be like they're trying to, you know, put out something that's short and that's the end of that. In the meantime, they're still working on Sniper Elite 6, which will have Carl. And they said that they've decided to keep staying within the World War II era because everybody seems to like it and they don't want the game to go away from it. So they're going to be sticking with this pretty much who knows how long. They decided that it was better to put out a game in between games, so to speak, because of the positive feedback they had for Sniper Elite 5. So they figured like, well, why don't we put out more games instead of having to wait such a long time for the next one? And again, if it's done right, I'm all for that. I know some people are like, well, nothing new. I don't want to play it. But if the game was good to begin with and this game is just as good or better, then more of what I like is great. And then I don't have to wait 3-4 years. Like I only had to wait 2.
Yeah.
And I got a game. So, I mean, remember Far Cry used to do stuff like that. Remember Far Cry? And then it would just kind of rotoscope over the whatever the assets were and just change them into plants or whatever. I mean, and a lot of people seem to like that too. So, and that was always like in the year between the next Far Cry or whatever. And I didn't play a lot of those, but still it was there. And apparently it was popular enough.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Hey,
what the heck?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Testicle shooting. Here we come.
Oh, and they still have the co-op in the game too. So
that's fun.
Yeah.
Is that one with the enemy sniper that comes in?
Yeah, I think that they still have that too, right? Exactly. Or you could not play it, or you could turn that off and do something different. I have not had a chance to do that, so maybe because like not everybody is into Sniper Elite, or sniper games like we are. But when this game comes out, you and I got to jump on this and try out this whole the whole co-op thing and see what we can do. I think that'd be fun.
It will be. Know? Yeah,
we can report back about it. The new things that they're going to have are going to be some propaganda missions. And in these propaganda missions, you have to find the propaganda poster. And once you take down the poster, you got to kill the enemies involved within a time limit. So if you can't kill the enemies within the time limit, you fail the mission, basically. Also, what they're putting into this game, which is interesting, is what they call bonus targets. So you will have a target, but there'll also be other targets to take out as well. And those bonus targets will give you extra, points or brownie points or whatever, or trophies, who knows. So there's going to be some bonus target things, which is interesting because actually bonus targets are in the other game I like, Sniper Ghost Warrior. So Sniper Ghost Warrior contracts That's nothing new to them, because I've played many missions where you have whatever this extra contract, and even tell you, they say, well, you know, such and such a guy has infiltrated the area. If you can take him out, go ahead. You don't have to. But it was neat because in Sniper Ghost Warrior, it gave you something extra to do. So that if you could bag him, you would, you know, it would be a great thing. So yeah. Now they're bringing that into Sniper Elite. I'm going to go like, yeah, that's cool. I definitely want to do that. So I'm looking for a lot of hours of fun, because the game is really wrapped around not just sniping, but you got to do a lot of stealth in these games. And the thing I liked about it is I believe there's going to be 9 missions. And this guy that was playing an early copy of it, he said he was 2 hours in one mission alone, which isn't unheard of, because I've been involved in missions for a very long time. I like to, you know, be as quiet as I can, take out people and, you know, et cetera. And I like the chances of making long shots and stuff like that, which are always rewarding. I tend to play those games on, if not the hardest, the one right below hardest.
Yes.
To get myself a challenge, since I've, you know, played them a lot. So I can't wait. January 30th is going to be that. I'll definitely be jamming on that. So that'll be fun. So a lot of good games coming up. We're not in the period where we had like not a whole lot of games coming out and stuff like that. So now all of a sudden we're really getting one after the other. Which is great. I can't wait.
That's it. Saves me going back to my library, having a look, see what I've got to finish, which is tons.
Or never started.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's like my Epic game catalog. I think my Epic game catalog is the biggest amount of games I have that I've never played.
Yeah. <That's>
it. But hey, man, it's a, you know, like you said, it's a library. Go back to it whatever.
Is. Absolutely. That's the whole point of it, I think. Yeah. Oh, thank you, the Trekway, for the sub. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you.
48 months. Lovely.
I did it too, but I don't see it. Oh, no, I didn't do it in time. Never mind.
Oh, I'll do it later. I did mine near the beginning.
I thought I did it.
61 months I was.
No, did I do it? I don't know. Whatever. I'll figure it out later. Anywho, so now we're going to go back to some more game news, but this time it's your game news. That's right. What do you got for us? SpongeBob.
So in the news, dropped in by Trev himself, was a report about gamers are now spending more time watching videos on platforms like Twitch and YouTube rather than playing the games itself. This report was by Media Research, MIDIA. The report highlights an untapped potential for game publishers to integrate video content from their ecosystems into third-party platforms. Mm. On average, gamers spend about 8.5 hours per week watching videos compared to the 7.4 hours of gaming. This trend is driven by the popularity of watching streamers play games, including horror games, which has made video content a lot more popular than gaming itself. I'm the same on that retrospect. I've watched certain creators play either DayZ, Star Citizen, simulators, and I'd be watching them for hours on end rather than just playing. Especially like Enshrouded is one of the things I love to watch people play, but I don't really want to play that game for some reason. Some reason it doesn't register with me. It's just like, oh no.
Since the new updates are coming or already in, I'll play it and watch me do it.
Absolutely. I will do it. Absolutely. Your hardcore is always soft there.
I'm kind of the other way around. I'm going to play more than I'm going to watch. I don't watch really that many gaming videos at all. The only time I tend to watch is when I hear about a game I'm not sure about, and then somebody I know is playing it on Twitch, and I'll go like, all right, let's see if this thing's any good. And I'll watch them for a while, and then you just kind of like, you can make up your mind at that point, like, yeah, that's good or not so much.
Yeah. So I don't know whether that counts on top of also watching guides or walkthroughs. So if you're stuck in games, I'm sure that probably counts towards it as well. Yeah.
Because my hard corner went soft now.
It's always been soft. We're just too kind.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, there you go. Inside joke, people, but it's still funny.
Yeah. So, the research report says that 24% of the console and PC players watch the game-related videos at least monthly, which is probably pretty much when major drops happen, with 48% of them in-game buyers doing the same. High spending gamers, especially those involved in microtransactions, they're the ones are the primary audience. This presents an opportunity for in-game video platforms to connect to publishers directly, making most valuable for fans. I don't know about that bit, but you know, it's also integrating video content from the games, especially esports, which could unlock new revenue streams for people, publishers.
I wonder if a lot of that data is based on esports, because I understand the esports guys wanting to watch esports because they're so you know into it. They're like rabidly into it. But I wonder if that's true if you took that out of the factor, would it still be true? You know that people watch other playing games that often or whatever.
Yeah, I mean I watch pretty much random things. I'll go to like simulators, survival simulators, and see how they go on with their things, and they make an adventure out of it, and that pulls me in. A bit like Frankie on PC, if anybody remembers him. We miss him. But he was great at storytelling on YouTube. Commander Pixel was another one. He was fantastic. Brilliant guy. Totally miss his stuff completely. But yeah, it's pretty much that type of thing that I'd click onto, I guess. So the researcher quotes that it's time for game publishers to think about in-game video as something beyond marketing alone. By reclaiming video engagement, publishers have the potential to unlock new revenue streams like advertising and drive growth. This is from Reese Elliott from the Games Analyst.
On there. So they want to stick more commercials in our game? Is that where
it's going? Pretty much. So pretty much what teams,
you know,
YouTube do it.
I thought I wouldn't like that idea, and I'm still not fond of it. But the thing that I think is what I would like to see happen, I don't know if this is going to happen, but if you're going to push product placement and stuff like that in games, then keep the game price down.
Yes.
Or at least don't let it go up. So in other words, if it's a $50 game and you have, let's say, a couple different product placements, well, don't charge more than 50. In fact, maybe charge 45 or 40. Because you're already making a whole crap load of money from these people putting the product placements in. I mean, I want the company to make a fair profit margin, fine.
Yeah.
You know, but they should also think about the buyer, because if you can actually lower the price of a game because of the product placement, I'll put up with the product placement if I can get the game cheaper.
Absolutely. If it's not intrusive and you don't get like loads of them.
Yeah, right.
Some ads, I probably get like some places on YouTube, I probably get 4 to 5 ads in one video.
Are you seeing real ads or are you seeing product placements?
Ads, sometimes product placements, but yeah. Pretty much more.
See, product placements are the least obtrusive. There's no doubt you can see the
you
guy
can skip
picking up
as well. So,
well, yeah. I'm just saying, a guy will pick up a can of Coke. You're going to see Coke. I mean, that's the point. But you don't have to listen to like 9 different sentences about how Coke does this and how Coke makes that, and we have all these different Cokes and blah 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 blah. Blah. You know, so I would, if I had to choose, in other words, I'd rather have product placement, you know, and so forth. But if that keeps the game prices down to where they're not going to keep going up like they have been, then I'll put up with the product placements if you're not going to start charging me over 60, over 70.
Yeah.
You know, that stuff. I mean, that's just, you know, it's already getting nutty as it is. So, why do you think we always look for the sales or go to Epic or something?
Absolutely. There we go. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a good research there.
Yeah. Cool. What else you got for us, Matt? The next Fallout thing?
Oh, yes. So now we have, if I can find it again, because I've lost it, because, you know, that's me.
It says they have an update for us already.
An update?
It says, on the link to the on the notes. See it? More free Fallout 76 content. You didn't see that one, huh?
Ah, no. That wasn't there before.
Fallout 76 Gleaning Depths update now available, adding the biggest boss yet. So
the Scientific Forge.
Apparently they're putting something new in a game that's pretty old now, but
yeah, so they're putting in new raids features, which long-term Fallout 76 players are highly anticipated for. This feature, players be able to go into former Enclave laboratories where research on Ultrasight is being carried out with the promise of reshaping Appalachia. But the labs are abandoned. I remember reading about this now. And it's overrun by enemies. You'll have to work with other people together in teams of four to survive the extreme journey. So if you want to know what's in store for the 76 Gleaming Depths update, Bethesda has released a launch trailer. And it's under 2 minutes, which is always nice. But mine's stuck. So
I'll try to get that. Let's see if you get yours in. Yeah. I'll try to get that into the edit for the YouTube shiny version.
That's it. Absolutely. So the Ultrasight Terror, a mutated monster, is lurking within the Gleaming Depths, along with your tons of enemies that will be there. Raids won't be the only thing added in this free update. Free update. There you go. Let me say that again. Free update. There's a legendary system has been expanded to 4 stars, allowing players to get new 4-star legendary weapons, armors, mods that can be earned from playing that. The app update also adds in player titles and camp pets. So you can finally get pets, dog or cat. Hopefully it's not like your companion, which always gets in the way. Maybe they'll bring that in as well. So this comes with Season 19 under the Scientific Forge, where the players will be able to explore the deep state function made of AI supercomputers called MODUS, M-O-D-U-S, a faction that is dedicated in rebuilding America through science. There we go.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think they're putting these little things out so they don't have to make a new game.
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. Just build on what you got already.
They want to stretch it out until the next TV show comes back or season 2 comes out, and then they'll try to have a game. They won't even have a new game ready for season 2. It's gonna be, even though season 2 is gonna take they've already been, I think, started filming, but it's been already a year or year and a half. So by the time the second one comes out, it's gonna be another year, you know. But that's still not time to bring out a new game. So
they're gonna
have to keep on trying to pump out these DLCs or something to keep people active.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I've stopped playing Fallout 76. I can't remember. I think I got people because I think we're supposed to meet up with Trev and other people, but we always played all different times, pretty much. So we always missed each other, and I ended up finding a different game. As I would, but yeah,
it happens. There's so many games.
It is. Yeah.
So we have a next report about scamming.
So everybody must know about these now. The totally NZXT rental scam, which everybody's been talking about from creators. So pretty much NZXT is a flex program where you rent pre-built gaming PCs, having accused of using bait and switch tactics. So by the YouTube channel Gamers Nexus, the investigation revealed that the rental costs are exorbitant. And they are. They're huge. I think quite a lot of us know that, you know, renting versus buying, in the long run, you are going to be spending a hell of a lot more than what you would buy a PC. And I think it's more ease to rent than to either build your own at the time. Because, you know, some people won't have the access to do pay monthly, you know, through credit. And so these flexi rentals can, you know, be an easier way for people to get into gaming, but it is very costly. But with that, they revealed that rental costs are exorbitant, with some gamers finding it cheaper to buy a PC outright, as I've just said. Yeah. Renting a PC for 9 months could cost you pretty much the equivalent or probably twice as much as you would from buying a PC. But not all of us have that luxury. So there you go. Gamers Nexus also found that NZXT frequently change the specs to its rental PCs without actually clearly informing customers.
I was watching.
That's quite cheeky.
I was watching the video on that and I couldn't even believe what I was looking at. I mean, clear as day. It's not even like they hide it. They hid it. Gamers Nexus, to their credit, put some of this stuff up on the screen and they showed you. And I think the thing that was even funnier was when they had the regular gaming PC or whatever that they were renting, they had a certain amount of high specs. Then when they went to resell it, like, you know, to get rid of it,
yeah,
then you thought you were buying that version, but you weren't. They took out some of the parts and put in even older parts and then sold it at the same price.
Yes.
I'm like, wow, that's cheap. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then the prices were changing on the fly. I thought that was like really ridiculous too. They showed what was one computer was started out at 109 a month, then 119, then 129.
Yes. Yeah. Like, what? Exactly. Yeah. So that's not fair. That's not good retail at all. No. Wow. As you said, offering less powerful components as advertised. Additionally, the program's terms of services are criticized for being very aggressive. If you read the terms and conditions, it does go into quite a lot.
There's one whole section that basically tells you everything that you do, yes. We can take and use for whatever we want.
Pretty much. So anything that you use, anything you look at, whatever you type up, whatever data you have on that PC, it's for them to do what they want with it, which is terrible. NZXT have responded to these accusations, stating that they're looking into the claims and aware of the concerns raised by the community. And I know a few creators
Hear what you said, that you're saying NZXT is looking into it. Sure, they will.
They're looking into it. They're changing. They're trying to clean up.
Looking into it.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah. Us? No.
Oh, look, but I don't hear anything.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so there's a few creators that have been a part of their sponsorships who are being criticized. Mm-hmm. There's one guy who's an American fellow on TikTok. I can't remember his name. I am so sorry. But he was actually approached by NZXT on renting, you know, one of the gaming tables, one mm-hmm. of those fancy things. And he was told if he could buy the table and sponsor them, and then eventually they'll pay him back the money and all this stuff. And he just laughed at them and went, no way, no, you know, I am responsible for my audience. I'm responsible for what I put out there. Mm-hmm. I can't run a business like that. I will not do it. No way. And he said it's dodgy from that start. And that was a while back. He just reminded us to myself today when I was looking at him, because he was going through all this, saying, you know, there's quite a few creators that should be responsible for what they're sponsoring out there, and taking, you know, a blow like that, you know, you should be careful who you sponsor.
I think that the practices like that, just to get away with stuff like that. I'm just glad that Gamers Next has said something, but some people are just like, I'm sorry, they're just kind of dumb and not looking, and they just take advantage of them. It's almost like the people try to take advantage of older people and have them take money out of their account. You know, and do all that whole scam. But it really isn't all that much different, you know, and stuff. And then they sit there and lie about it or don't admit anything.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, like they even pointed out, I think the guy Gamers Next has pointed out that somebody from NZXT said, that, oh, no, you, this particular thing of us keeping everything, you know, and using it the way we want, that's not true. And then he goes right into the agreement and you see it down there.
Yeah.
It right there. It's kind of like, just because I say it's not there, you know, you're supposed to believe me. I'm like, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. That's one of their sales guys, I bet. Yeah, always be careful what you're buying. Be careful, read those terms and conditions, even though it's a headache. Or get somebody to do it for you, and then
apparently, you know, make sure you get the real parts in your computer too. That always is helpful.
Absolutely, yes. Make sure, yeah. Don't actually. That's pretty much like Alienware. When I bought my first Alienware, which is the worst mistake I've ever done. And when I opened up the inside, it was trash. Cheapest components. It was all locked, even though it states that it's unlockable. I think it was only one core that was 1% unlockable, which is overclockable, I should say. And I've never touched Alienware since, or any Dell machines.
I think Dell bought them, right?
Yeah. But, you know, I'm lucky that I found a collector of Alienware and sold it to him. He took it on and was like, I don't mind the nonsense inside. This is why I buy them. So, yeah. Be careful what you buy out there. Always watch and read. And if you're unsure, use those.
Did you get money when you sold it?
Yeah, I got about £2,500. Yeah. And we customized it.
On that one.
Yeah. We repainted the, because it's one of those ALX ones with the with the fans that move and all that stuff and all RGB colors, or sync as they called it then, I think. And myself and Nick, to say this, we customized, we painted it with pearlescent purple and green. We cut in a window on the side as well. But of course, you got this metal bar going right in between because of how they built these cheap nonsense stuff.
So you turned it, it was an inexpensive turnaround to make it look a little better.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And one of the guys from the show saw it and they jumped on it and said, look, I've got loads of these Alienwares. I collect them. Can I have it? And I was like, yeah, no. And then he was just like, $2,500. There you go, sort of thing. And I was like, you know what? Okay. If you're serious, here's a pay it in here and then you can have it. So, yeah.
Deal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Anyway, we're going to move along to some hardware tech news, and that's you again.
Oh, is it me again?
Well, because Trev would have been in between, but he's not here. So
it's all Trev's fault. There you go. Well, this will keep some people happy.
I want to know more because eventually, I keep saying this, I will get the MetaQuest 3 on my head. I don't know when.
Yeah. But,
yeah. So what do you have to report about that MetaQuest 3?
So MetaQuest 3, you know, I was like looking into a game. It was a survival Buccaneer something, which is like a piratey survival crash run thing. And I was like, I'll get it on the Quest 3, but I couldn't because it's on Steam. And a little bird told me, you can get that. You can play that on the Quest 3. I was like, I don't think so, because you needed that to buy the link cable to be able to do that sort of thing, I thought. And No, you don't. You don't have to do that anymore. You have AirLink now, so you can wirelessly connect to your PC and to Steam on your Quest 3, so you don't have to have it plugged in at all. Which is fantastic. So I can actually play Steam games and PC VR games just wearing my Quest. But it's not just the Quest 3. Quest 2 does it now as well.
Really?
Yeah. So
what about instead the new Quest 3S or whatever the heck it is?
Yeah.
Nobody wants that one anyway.
Exactly. Who cares about that one? Nobody cares. Get out of here. You know?
Screw the S.
Yeah. Yeah, so I know for sure. I've tested about that
now. It's MetaQuest 3 screwed. They just put the S.
Yeah, screwed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Instead of something else.
When you're saying Steam, so you mean any game that you could play on the PC? You can play it on the Mac?
You can indeed. Yeah. So there is. So on your PC, you just download MetaQuest Link to link it to your PC. For Steam on the Quest, you just download the Steam Link, and then it'll. Once it's on your PC, you're connected to your PC, you just enter a code that shows you on there, and you're connected. Boom. As long as you've got the Steam VR installed, whatever Steam you have on there, it will start streaming on your Quest. Now and then I get a tiny little bit of a buffer now and then. So I'm guessing the cable is always better because then you've got that thing and you can use your on board.
Well, what games have you played that are not VR on the MetaQuest?
So this one is called, what is it called? I'm going to bring this up now because why not?
Yeah, I caught you on a good question.
You have. There you go. Yeah, so I kind of played a bit of it, but it is hard. It is hard, this game. So I kind of refunded it because I wanted to get something else instead.
Because now if you're doing that, you're using controllers, right? The two controllers in your...
Yeah, yeah, you got your hands there. It. And some you'd be able to use just your hands rather than the controllers itself. So,
but not in the games that weren't meant for it, though, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So far, I haven't been able to do that type of thing. So the one I was playing was did they get rid of it?
Aww. I know you're playing Arkham, but that's made for VR.
Yeah. So
for
this one is hopefully it hasn't.
I mean, if you can do that, I wouldn't mind seeing like. Horizon Zero Dawn on my Quest. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Although they do have a VR one. I forgot, too, for that Horizon. I haven't played it, but obviously yet, but still. The only drawback, I think, with that, though, is you can't use the keyboard and mouse. I mean, I guess you could, but you can feel the mouse, so that's no issue. It's the keyboard that might be a pain.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
You know, either that or you have to just remember where your fingers are without looking.
Yeah, if you played on PC VR, I think you kind of get used to that. It has taken me quite a while to do that because I used to have Squadrons on there, Microsoft Flight Simulator. I've played on there on the VR.
That's cool.
Bootstrap Island. That was it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was playing that on the PC, but using the Quest 3, which is quite fun. It is an exciting game, but it is kind of hard because the days and nights, they roll very fast. So, you know, when you're halfway doing something, you land on this island after a ship wreck, then you have to look for water. You have to find food and fire. By that time, it's already dark. You know, so, and then when the darkness comes, you get beasts that will come for you relentlessly.
There's always beasts that come for you.
Yeah, and it is tragic. It is hard. For me, anyways, it's hard. Everybody else probably, like, laughing their heads off, as they would. But, the game was £15. It was on sale. It's gone back up to £20, £21 now.
That's expensive.
Yeah, but the graphics were really nice. They were really sharp, which is good. Yeah, so if you're into that type of stuff.
Did you play that game at all on regular PC as well?
No. Just on that Quest, because I pretty much the Rift is packed in a drawer. And it has sensors that I have to plug in as well and set up as well. So I just, like, you know, I can't bother to set all that up. Let me just bang this in.
You're the expert, more or less. I mean, how many different VR setups do you have?
Three,
okay. And the MetaQuest is one, obviously. What were the others?
Yeah, so I got the Meta Rift, the Oculus Rift, the original. The dev kit style.
You mean when it first came out?
Yeah. I got that on sale for £100 back in the day. So I was like, yeah, I grabbed that, and it came with a suitcase full of all the goodies inside. Then I've got the Quest 2, because my kids was like, Quest 2. So I folded and went, why not? So we got him the Quest 2, which is
now. So it's not really yours. That one's.
Yeah. I'm just looking after it, you know, making sure it works.
And it still works.
Yeah. And then eventually he was like, you know, you should get the Quest 3 because it's updated and better, blah, 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 and better battery. And then eventually I caved in for that one too. So, yeah. So I bought that probably this year. I think it was after yours. I think 3 months.
So these are all Quests then?
Yeah, all Quests. I was looking at the Hive. It's very expensive for what it is, you know, sort of thing. And I was like, I haven't got the space for all that and all the wires and cables coming down and the sensors to put everywhere in the room.
Really?
Yeah. It would be good, but I think I'll get told off.
I mean, would it really be that much better just because you have all the sensors and everything?
It's better because, I don't know, because the Quest 3 does that now because it'll track your body movements.
Okay.
From its cameras and all this stuff that has already built in and sensors.
I mean, like, it's a lot better than running wires and garbage.
It is. Yeah. And I know you can get, like, a little pulley system for the Vive thing. And I don't know if you get wireless kit now. But I was just like, no. Big, chunky, heavy things that will just take up space versus a Quest 3, which looks nice. It's got good visuals. It runs really well. So, yeah, there you go.
Very good.
Yeah.
I would have tried to do the gaming quiz, but it's really bad with only two people.
So. Yeah, I knew all the answers anyway.
So we're going to skip that one until Trev gets back, and then we'll do it again. Absolutely. So I guess there's not a whole lot more unless you want to mention anything, Matt?
Just one thing. It's more of a general thing. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're out there for Christmas buying gift cards, beware. There is a scam going around, including the US. I think you guys know about this, where people have been opening up gift cards, taking down the code of the barcode, and then putting it back on the shelf, and then waiting for somebody to load money into it, and then pretty much taking that money out of it once they've bought it and loaded it up. So please beware of your gift cards. Double check that they haven't been resealed or opened in any shape or form. Make sure there's nothing loaded in there first. And if there is a scratch card bit, make sure that hasn't been interfered with as well. It's Christmas time.
Yeah, I was trying to think how they're doing that. Unless some of them are peel-aways and not...
Yeah.
The scratch-offs, I can't see how they would do that. But the peel aways.
Yeah, it's mostly the peel away ones that you have to be careful. Though they do have ways of re-sticking it down. So if you're not certain, don't buy. You know, just give the person the money.
So it's not just 'tis the season to be jolly. It's 'tis the season to be scammed.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep your wits about you. They're coming in for all sorts of shapes and forms. So be wary. Always double check. Never call any numbers they give you or any links. It's easy to do. So, yeah.
And these days, the scams look like they look really good. Some of them.
They do.
Better
they
than I've ever seen. Even though I still can recognize it. Mm-hmm. I can understand why a lot of people, you know, wouldn't recognize it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, but in any case, all right. So we're going to move along till next week. I apologize that the show is a little short. Again, you know, Trev's under the weather and he'll be feeling better as soon as he can. And then we'll get, you know, back into the normal thing. But we put in a good hour and a half for everybody. So I hope you enjoyed what we did talk about. Remember our podcast, discord.gg/extreme gaming podcast, and you can join the Discord. We talk about all kinds of stuff besides gaming. We talk about entertainment, even a little bit of sports and other stuff. And you can ask any kind of hardware questions, or if you're having any problems with a computer, we have enough of us that can probably help you and get you through any issue or whatever. And if you want to ask any questions, like we said, feel free to do so. So I appreciate Matt coming on.
Thank you, monsieur.
You're welcome. And we will go ahead and see you guys next week, where we'll be covering a bunch of other stuff. I have a couple things planned. I want to talk about the Game Awards. I believe by the time we come back on, the winners will already be picked. So we always have fun kind of reading out some of the categories, even though they have about 10 or 15 categories too many.
Yes, yeah.
All together, but that's okay. Sometimes you learn something out of it, I guess. But in any case, we will try to get into that. We'll be back with the quiz and lots of other fun stuff. So
don't forget the Steam Awards. Get your nominations in. Make your counts.
It's all happening now.
Yeah.
Now.
Do it.
Anyway, so I appreciate it. And we will say a good goodbye. And Matt, talk to you again. And thanks, everybody. And bye-bye.
Thank you. And bye-bye.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart. In my heart I have but one desire, and that one is you.